By 4 p.m., it was one for the record books. The trading day was over, and the news that Steve Madden's shoes had been the most actively traded stock in America, and for that matter, the world, had come skidding across the Dow Jones wire service for one and all to see. The world. Such audacity. Such sheer audacity. Oh, yes. Stratton Oakmont had the power, all right. In fact, Stratton Oakmont was the power, and I, as Stratton's leader, was wired into that very power and sat atop its pinnacle. I felt it surge through my very innards and resonate with my heart and soul and liver and loins. With more than 8 million shares changing hands, the units had closed just below $19, up 500% on the day, making it the largest percentage gainer on the NASDAQ, the New York Stock Exchange, the Amex, as well as any other stock exchange in the world. Yes, the world. From the OBX exchange way up north in the frozen wasteland of Oslo, Norway, all the way down south to the ASX exchange in the kangaroo paradise of Sydney, Australia. Right now, I was standing in the boardroom, casually leaning against my office's plate glass window with my arms folded beneath my chest. It was the pose of the mighty warrior after the fray. The mighty roar of the boardroom was still going strong, but the tone was different now. It was less urgent, more subdued. It was almost celebration time. I stuck my right hand in my pants pocket and did a quick check to make sure my 6 ludes hadn't fallen out or simply vanished into thin air. Quaaludes had a way of vanishing sometimes, although it usually had more to do with your friends snatching them from you, or you getting so stoned that you took them yourself and simply didn't remember. That was the fourth phase of a quaalude high, and perhaps the most dangerous, the amnesia phase. The first phase was the tingle phase. Next came the slur phase, then the drool phase, and then, of course, the amnesia phase. Anyway, the drug god had been kind to me, and the quaaludes hadn't vanished. I took a moment to roll them around in my fingertips, which gave me an irrational sense of joy. Then I began the process of calculating the appropriate time to take them, which was somewhere around 4:30 p.m., I figured, 25 minutes from now. That would give me 15 minutes to hold the afternoon meeting, as well as enough time to supervise this afternoon's act of depravity, which was a female head shaving. One of the young sales assistants, who was strapped for cash, had agreed to put on a Brazilian bikini and sit down on a wooden stool at the front of the boardroom and let us shave her head down to the skull. She had a great mane of shimmering blonde hair and a wonderful set of breasts, which had recently been augmented to a D-cup. Her reward would be $10,000 in cash, which she would use to pay for her breast job, which she'd just financed at 12%. So it was a win-win situation for everyone. In 6 months, she'd have her hair back, and she'd own her D-cups debt-free. I couldn't help but wonder if I should have allowed Danny to bring a midget into the office. After all, what was so wrong with it? It sounded a bit off at first, but now that I'd had a little time to digest it, it didn't seem so bad. In essence, what it really boiled down to was that the right to pick up a midget and toss him around was just another currency due any mighty warrior, a spoil of war, so to speak. How else was a man to measure his success, if not by playing out every one of his adolescent fantasies, regardless of how bizarre it might be? There was definitely something to be said for that. If precocious success brought about questionable forms of behavior, then the prudent young man should enter each unseemly act into the debit column of his own moral balance sheet and then offset it at some future point with an act of kindness or generosity, a moral credit, so to speak, when he became older and wiser and more sedate. Yet, on the other hand, we might just be depraved maniacs, a self-contained society that had spiraled completely out of control. We Strattonites thrived on acts of depravity. We counted on them, in fact. I mean, we needed them to survive.